He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
I trust in your word. I trust in you, whatever your sovereignty has. And like the three Hebrew boys who said, I will not bow to you, culture. God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, I have the faith that he is who he says he is. My trust is in the living God. And if he calls me home, he calls me home. And you walk and you live in the faith because you're trusting in God's sovereignty and you walk in faith.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship. Located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on Regaining Lost Ground is titled, Building Faith, and is part one from a two-part sermon series called, Don't Ring the Bell. 1 John 3:20 through 21 tells us, For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Are you focusing more on burdens than blessings? Are you critical and defensive? Is doubt, fear, and anxiety controlling you? Join us for this powerful message as Pastor Shane encourages us to stand firm in the freedom found in Christ alone and throw off the burden of sin.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. We are excited to announce the return of our Saturday night church services to Lancaster Stadium every Saturday this summer at 6:45 p.m. beginning June 12th and running through the month of August. The only exception is June 26th. There will be powerful worship along with life-changing messages. And if you need prayer, motivation, hope, and encouragement, I hope to see you every Saturday this summer beginning June 12th at 6:45 p.m. at Lancaster Stadium.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Where's your heart? Is there idolatry in our hearts? Idolatry is when we put anything else before God. And I've seen over the years when I was coaching Little League, and so you'd be amazed at how many people put sports before God. They'll fit God in once in a while if it fits within their schedule. Soccer, baseball, football, motocross, you name it. It's the summer, everybody's doing it. That is idolatry. Oh, Shane, you lost me there. We don't have little statues in our house. Idolatry is anything that says, this is more valuable than God. And you prove what's more valuable to you by looking at your calendar and looking at your checkbook. I didn't tell you I was going to be nice today. Whatever we put before. See, if God became an all-consuming passion, the churches would be crowded. You couldn't contain them. Prayer meetings, people say, I've got to hear from God. The flesh hates it. The spirit loves it. But the Bible also says, but the flesh is weak. And we give in to that. Oh, the bed sounded more comfortable this morning. There was a desperation, seeking God with all of our heart, idolatry, with all of our mind. What do we think upon? Where do our thoughts go? The older I get, the more I realize how important that scripture is about taking your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We don't realize how powerful our thought life is. That's where jealousy starts. That's where gossip starts. That's where backbiting starts. That's where slander starts. That's where when you become discontent, anyone becoming discontent or bitter or angry, where does it start? By entertaining these thoughts. The enemy shoots thoughts into your mind and you begin to entertain those thoughts with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And strength, that word is what we do, the strength. I have time for this, but not time for God. I have time. It's amazing to me how many men have strength to get to work, but are too tired for God. And loving God with all your mind, heart, and strength. So she was desperate. And it's good to get desperate. It's good if God has you in a desperate place, thank God for him. Because desperate people do desperate things. Desperate people rearrange their life to put God first. Desperate people begin to seek him unconditionally. Desperate people want to make a difference. Desperate people read their Bible even when they don't feel like it. Desperate people will begin to pray and pull down heaven even when they don't feel like it. Because your feelings are the caboose of the train, not the engine. They follow. They do not lead us. How many times have we not felt like coming to prayer meetings or worship or in your own home even? Feelings and we're controlled by feelings and we are influenced by this. Nike, remember that slogan? If it feels right, just do it. Great marketing, terrible biblical advice. And we're led by these things. And she was desperate. But praise God, she was determined. She set her mind on this. And that's talking back to this. Many people who get through this SEAL training, the power of the mind, that's where you lose or win the battle. That's where you lose or win the battle of the mind. And she set her mind. If I can just press through the throngs of people, if I don't care who's in my way, I don't care the obstacle in my way, can you picture her just pressing through? Maybe there wasn't a lot of room and she just reached down and if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And there was a determined aspect. Some of us need to be determined. By the grace of God, the enemy is not going to take out my family. By the grace of God, the enemy is not going to take me out. By the grace of God, the enemy is not going to take out my marriage or my children. I am determined to fight him. I am determined because those songs we sing, they're not just songs, they are truth that penetrates our heart. Oh God, when you're on the throne, no enemy can defeat me. When you say, do this, nothing can stop God Almighty. And she was determined and she had to go against the flow. You will be swimming upstream. You don't want to look at TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, sports figures, celebrities. It's all going downstream. The broad road to destruction, very broad. And as believers, you are swimming upstream. You're battling upstream. You're going against the flow. You ever wonder, why are my friends not liking my Facebook posts? Why don't they like me to text them scriptures? It's a battle against right and wrong, light and darkness. But then praise God, she was delivered. Delivered. And what happens is most people, and they miss these two elements. They don't get desperate and determined. They get stuck in that cycle of defeat, failure, and they just stay there. Well, I'm defeated. Why go to church? Do you know how many people avoid even coming to church and worship because they're in a defeated state? In 1 week, a couple weeks ago, I reached out to three people I have not seen in a while. And all of them came back because they need that encouragement. I'm down right now. I'm defeated. And you stay in that cycle. It's like eating broccoli when we want In-N-Out Burger. Think of it physically. I don't want the broccoli. I need it, but I don't want it. I want the double-double. Do you want me to tell you how many calories that is or just leave that? It's okay. He said to her daughter, and I was reminded of that relational aspect. We serve a God, if you know him, who calls us sons and daughters. You don't see God referring to us as my servants, even though we are. We serve him. The word is actually doulos. In the New Testament, it's a slave. We are slaves to Christ. We're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. But God refers to us as sons and daughters, as inheritance, as receiving the blessings. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now, I should interject, we are not a church that believes in the name it and claim it aspect of Christianity. It's not really part of, it's not, to me, it's not Christianity. It's a false doctrine that's coming to the church. Do you know what that is? Maybe some of you don't. Name it and claim it is say, if I just have enough faith, I got it. The problem is our sinful hearts want a lot of things that are not of God. If you just have enough faith, brother, you'll be driving that Corvette or that BMW, that house on the, if you just have enough faith. And what it can do is feed selfish and prideful desires. And those people get very unbalanced because they'll start to say, well, if you're not healed, it's because you have little faith. You're still struggling with anxiety and depression? Where's your faith? You of little faith. If you just had enough faith. And it's funny, these guys who preach that, they won't let you know when they have to go to the hospital. Over the years, I've seen stories of, oh, put me in under a different name. See, real Christianity, genuine Christianity, understands that we don't understand God's sovereign will. There's no guarantee of health and wealth and overcoming sickness. I believe God can heal. I believe often that God wants to heal. And I believe we should seek God in that area and pray for people. And how do we know what God's will is or is not? And faith people in the hyper-charismatic circles, they're going to email me on that point if they're listening. Brother, you should never say God if it's your will. Oh, no. We claim it. We claim it. And I kind of see what they're saying because it's you don't want to also pray, well, Lord, if it's your will, I'm not sure, and doubt comes in. I mean, but sometimes, Lord, I don't know what your will is. I don't know. I need to know, God, what is your will? I know in my heart dwelleth no good thing. And that sometimes I can have ulterior motives. And Lord, I'm just trying to discern your will. And God, would you heal this person? Would you set them free? We've seen it in the prayer room recently. We've seen people be set free of drugs and addictions and heal. We believe, and it's not fake, it's not phony. We don't promote any of that. Because on the other side of the spectrum, you can be this side, the faith doesn't matter group. Jesus said, because of your lack of faith. What do you do with the scripture? I could not do many miracles there because of your lack of faith. So you have this group says, I don't care about faith. It doesn't really matter. They minimize it. And you have this group. It's all about faith. In other words, it's all about me, my faith. I'm in control. Jesus is a butler. Jesus is a genie in a bottle. My three wishes, if I just have enough faith. But the Bible is clear that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you will not see God move in a mighty way because faith does this. God, you've called me to do this. You've called me to plant the church, for example, or contend for my family. Your word says this. I'm stepping out and I don't see what's underneath me, but I trust you and I'm stepping out in faith. I'm going to go forward regardless of what the results say because I trust in your word. I trust in you, whatever your sovereignty has. And like the three Hebrew boys who said, I will not bow to you, culture. God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, I have the faith that he is who he says he is. My trust is in the living God. And if he calls me home, he calls me home. And you walk and you live in the faith because you're trusting in God's sovereignty. Oh, if you could get real biblical faith, you could fight the fiery darts of the enemy. No matter what comes against you, Christ in me is stronger than the enemy coming against me. And you walk in faith. Not in doubt. So faith is vital. You have to have it. Hebrews 11:6. Memorize this week if you can. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because what's the opposite of faith? Fear, doubt. If God's calling you to do something, for example, you know it's biblical, you know it helps people, but you're like, no, I'm fearful. Do you know how many people don't start a small group or go into ministry? I've struggled with this before because maybe there won't be enough people there. But what about if only two or three show up? Oh, well, why are you doing it? For the numbers? I've told this story before. My wife will remember, maybe a few of you. But our opening night at the church, 200 people showed up. We were so excited. God must be really gonna, man. And then within 6 months, I counted 52 people. Blessed subtraction. And I remember going home that night. I don't remember if I was driving or I got home and I said, Lord, I don't care if it's 52 or 500. I have to do this. I have to do it. It was humbling. Don't get me wrong. It was humbling. But God humbles us because he loves us. And before God called me to preach, I went and spoke to homeless people. When God called me to be a pastor, before he did, we were part of Calvary Chapel. And they would have me go fill in when pastors weren't available or maybe removed or different things. So I went to North Edwards and Tehachapi and Yucca Valley and other Calvary chapels. I'll never forget Yucca Valley. Unbelievable. They put me in a hotel and I was on the main road, I guess is the racing strip. till two in the morning, hearing these. No earplugs. I learned my lesson. And I get there, I'm exhausted, and there's about 12 people there. And I preach my heart out. And this big man began to weep, and people began to weep, and God's spirit was moving and convicting. It was one of the best services I've ever been to. And I would go there. And if you're going to the, Jesus said, I must go to meet the one. And God will use things to humble you and keep you humble, because then it's not all about you. Then God says, I can use you because you don't care about the numbers. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Another translation says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligence is interesting. It'd be like if we had a leak in our roof that was continual and it just kept hitting right here. You know, after a few months or maybe a few years, you begin to see that little divot begin to wear that diligence. And that's the word. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That first drop means nothing. Lord, I'm seeking you. I don't feel anything. That's okay. You are planting the seeds. You are waiting for the growth later. God is preparing you now. There's a certain type of bamboo. I can't remember what it is, but they water it the first year. They water it the second year. They water it the third. Nothing is coming up out of the ground. And then like 5 years later, it begins to shoot up, growing many, many feet up into the air after the fifth year. But see, sometimes you don't see what's going on underneath the surface. You don't see what God is working on the back end. You don't see what God is doing in the hearts of people. And anytime looking back over my life, I thank God for his timing. Because if it was my timing, I would have destroyed myself. If God elevates too soon and you are not prepared, if God begins to open doors and you are not prepared, you will fall under the weight of responsibility, and God will begin to prepare your heart. But you have to have that faith that trusts in him, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we see her being delivered, and I believe God can deliver many here this morning. We want to pray with you on certain issues next door. You don't have to be specific, but the prayer team is going to be next door. Oh, but wait a minute. I forgot something. This delay, Jesus was actually going somewhere. This delay in healing this woman cost a little 12-year-old her life. If some of you remember the story from the Bible, Jesus was going because a man came, the man sent the servants and said, please come, hurry quickly. This man's daughter is on the verge of death. Come, Jesus, come quickly. And he stopped. And he healed this lady, probably had a conversation and maybe did some teachings. We don't know. But all we do know is during this time of enormous, great healing, this lady is rejoicing. There was tremendous sadness. And they said, go and tell the teacher not to come. Your daughter is dead. Can you imagine hearing that news? Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But thank God, one thing you always need to remember, that in God's economy, delay is not deny. Anytime something is being delayed, doesn't mean God is denying it. I've actually noticed over the years that delay just means God's timing has not yet been fulfilled. Now, it doesn't mean some things are going to happen regardless, because we can pray amiss, James says, because you pray on your own desires. Sometimes our prayers are not focused on the right areas, and those types of things will not happen. And I want to teach on prayer sometimes, getting prayers to answer, but this is so true with Jesus. Delay is not deny. So Jesus says, everyone get out of the room except these individuals and his parents. Get up, get out of the room. And he told the child, he spoke that child out of death. He said, child, get up and arise again. And it was a reminder to me, don't ring the bell. We don't know what God is doing. We don't know where he's going. And sure, maybe somebody won't be healed. Maybe they're on their deathbed and that's where they're going to end up. Well, you'll be with the Savior even sooner. I don't know how that's a bad thing. The longer I live, the more I realize that death is not a bad thing when you know who God is. So do not ring the bell. And as I close, this is an important point here. Jesus always asks, who touched me? Maybe not in that way, but there has to be a public declaration somehow, some way. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. There's no such thing as closet Christianity, secret servants. And if you're embarrassed about your faith, let us pray for you. Because when you receive that mighty filling of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of boldness, you will not be ashamed to share your faith. There will be a desire. Timing is important. You want to be sensitive, all these things, but there's not an embarrassment because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is because of the cross I speak to you this morning. And God will begin to give you that desire. She declared in the presence of all, she went from unclean to clean. She went from unclean to clean in a matter of a moment. Same thing happens in salvation. People are unclean in the presence of Almighty God. Their sin has have them in bondage. They are under the wrath and condemnation of God. And as soon as they, like this lady, even cry out to God, Lord, save me. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they call out to Christ in their desperation, in their willingness to know who God is, they cry out to him and God saves them and sets them free and they go from unclean to clean. They stand before God because of what Jesus did. One of the early church fathers said this, but he said, there are two deaths. One is temporal, the other is eternal. There are two lives, one of short duration and one without end. You might say, what do you mean there are two? You don't die twice. Actually, you do. The Bible talks about dying twice. Well, can you explain that? Yeah, it's a very important principle. It's a very important truth. We die physically. Our body is buried and we die physically, but you can also die spiritually. Two deaths. Shane, you're just trying to scare me. No, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You know, it's okay to fear some things. One of the problems in our culture and in the churches is we don't fear Almighty God. Fear the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Not a fear you have for an abusive type of person, and oh, I fear this person. This is a fear and a reverence and a respect in the awesomeness of Almighty God. We should fear him and tremble. But if you know you're going to die that second death and you don't know where you're going to end up, you need to make that decision this morning and say, God, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sin. I embrace that wonderful sacrifice that bridged the gap between me and death. Bridge that gap between me and you, actually. I don't want to experience spiritual death. Jesus, I need you as Lord and Savior. He was not just a good teacher. He's not just a concept. You can't know God intellectually without also knowing him relationally. Actually, he's more relational than he is intellectual. Our mind should comprehend the truths of God after our heart has been changed. That's when the Bible comes alive. You just have to pray, Lord, I confess, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ to save me and set me free. It's not the eloquence of your prayer. It's not saying the perfect right things. Make sure you say this. Make sure you say, no, don't, did you say this? It is the heartbreaking crying out to God. Abba, Lord, I need you. There has to be a, where are the broken hearts today? Where are those crying out saying, God, I need you. I am lost without you. Our nation is crumbling from within. I don't have any bearing on what the truth is anymore. God, I need you. And he hears that prayer.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.